Hey.
Oh, shit. Welcome back. The David Ashley Podcast. Oh, listen, man. I'm sorry. I have neglected. What I've learned is that I have a different set of listeners on this feed than I do on my What's Your Favorite Song podcast feed. And you know, I thought y'all would carry over and listen, but you didn't. And it's fine. Maybe just, you know, I, as a person who listens to a lot of podcasts, you got to realize, like, there's a Bill Burr, who's only him. Sometimes he invites his wife on to have conversations. There are podcasts like the storytelling podcast. There's, audio, reporting podcasts like The Daily, you know, which I listen to. And then there are interview episodes, you know, like Questlove for Supreme or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And you got to, like, everything is not for everybody, you know? It's funny how the market is saturated with podcasts, but somehow podcasts are still new. They're still new. So, you know, meaning like a lot of people still don't trust it. A lot of people are just like, well, I don't want to sit down and listen to it. I'm like, no, there's anything that you want, okay? Anything that you want. At, my voice was squeaky as shit. Anything you want in a podcast, you can find it. Anything. So today, as you see from the title, we're going to talk about Jonathan Majors. We're going to talk about a lot of shit. Christmas Eve, but I'm honestly, there's no plan. I just heard some shit about Jonathan Majors. And as you know, let me turn this radio down. Let me make sure this ain't, hold on. The fire side. You hear that, Donnie, in the background. That song means it's Christmas. This is, I don't know if I'm going to drop this on Christmas Eve or on Christmas. Probably drop it on Christmas. Probably record some more tonight. I'm going to move around a little bit. And like I said, you are now listening to the tunes of the greatest Christmas song of all time. Probably even top 30 R&B songs of all time, to tell you the truth. To keep it a bean. Let's see, man, I was at a, and we're going to get to Jonathan Majors, but we're just going to talk shit a little bit, beforehand. Let's see, Christmas Eve, what was it? So I don't know if you all know, maybe I've said it here, but I had a, and I'm sorry, I'm also washing clothes. So that's why you're getting all the noises right now. So it don't matter. This how nigga living. So this, you know what I'm saying? This is Christmas music, Christmas music, and washing clothes. So let's see. As you all may know, my those of you who did listen to the other podcast, or maybe I said it here, I had a they shut down my podcast. I had a little discrepancy, but it was more than a little discrepancy. They shut down my podcast, and for all things, for music. But what I noticed is, not only did they not shut down this podcast, but I never even got an email. And nigga, I start each episode of the podcast with music, right? Or at least, you know, that was that stint that I did. And what I just figured out, and I don't know if it's 100% true, what I just figured out is if you can play the music in the background, right? You can play the music as a part of the show, even if in a stereo version, right? To give you the real sound. But what you cannot do is have music baked into the... what do you call it? The file, right? Because I record it, I go find the file, I edit it, whatever. But in baked in the file is the music. And the AI tool that, you know, record companies or individuals use to see who's playing their music, right? Prince has been doing that for years. They've been shutting you down for years for playing Prince music. Go post a Prince song right now. They'll shut it down within 5 minutes. Even posthumously, Prince is, you know, don't play with me about his music. A lot more people are like that, right? You know, it's D Nice has been on. You ain't seen D Nice feed shut down once. But if you listen to like Ninth Wonder, you know, when he go live on a DJ set, you know, some nights they'll shut him down 3-4 times. You know, then he'll go over to, was it Mixcloud? Sound? I forgot the name of the, it's one of those streaming sites. But, you know, he don't have as many fans over there as he does on Instagram, right? So I learned that, and I'm just learning this. If you don't have it baked into the file, then I don't think they got any problem with it. But I still need to find a way to play it. I found the tools. I just didn't go buy the shit. So anyway, that's just a little something, man. What else y'all been on, man? I went to a little, am I going to tell this story? No, I ain't going to tell that story. I'm going to let that bake a little longer because it's fairly new. I had a young lady on a three strike. She put me on the three strike situation. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Man, I'm going to be transparent in front of y'all, man. You know, I'm 44. It's turned 44 on November 15th. And not only is the, you know, have I gained the weight, but the hair is gray. And man, the looks that I'm getting are from older women, like women older than what I need to do the thing that I want to do, which is have a family. And now it's not like I put myself out there. Like I'm not, like the story that I said I wasn't going to tell was about me really being on the first date and my first date and shit. And I ain't been on the first date in about 7 years. Yeah, about 7 years. And yeah, you hear that Boys to Men. I don't care what the weather may be, as long as you are. That was my first CD, Christmas Interpretations. I got it for Christmas in 92 with, I think it was 92. And, you know, featuring Brian McKnight. I got a little Disc Man featuring Brian McKnight, which, and coincidentally, was the first CD that I ever owned. I'm sorry, the first CD I ever bought with my own money. And, classic R&B song. That might be number two in the R&B Christmas song category. Maybe like Santa Claus Comes Straight to the Ghetto. All of them top five, you know. Let's see. So yeah, the looks that I'm getting are different. And I get it. You know, we are the youth-obsessed culture, but normally it's like anybody listening to this wish they knew back then what they know now. Like, you know what I mean? I think that's across the board. We kind of long for the days where the bones didn't ache, where the eyes were better. I mean, my eyes are fine, but, oh, I will tell you this. I think I'm becoming nearsighted. Yo, the crazy shit that my eyes do and my forehead does when something is close to my face and I'm reading. It's like, man, what is it? What? I saw a thing, I saw a post on Instagram where it said, man, I'm at the age now where if something hurts, I don't know if I got injured or if this is just how life is now. You know? Music playing on my radio. NDIRE and Michael McDonald with their rendition of Merry Christmas, Baby. It's cold. You should listen to it. It's on a Joe Sample album, and they killed this joint. So, you know, I found myself I don't know who's listening to this. I want to be careful with my with Must Speak, but because they did mention something about a podcast. Fuck it. Let me just say. I found myself at a gathering recently, and you know, quite a few people there. And it was probably about seven people there. And you know, one of the young ladies there, I was like, oh, she walked in the door, I let her in the door. I'm like, oh shit. Okay. You know. And I was like, she was cute. Like, I ain't known about her. I ain't never seen her before, not that I know of. And you know, I really wasn't in sniper mode. Like I said, I went on a date, but I'm not like out there, but I'm getting closer, y'all. And there was another guy there, but the nigga was mad young. Like I say that now. I think somebody said later he was like 30, 31 or 32 or something like that. And I remember being like, damn. And there was two or three women there that was like, you could tell they was checking on him. And the girl that I was looking at, she was like engaged, like having conversation. I'm like, God damn it, I lost this one. Now, like if I, you know, come on, man, I could play the long game, right? Everything is the long game, really, you know, unless you're just trying to hit. So, you know, I could go do that whole thing and I can pursue. I know how to pursue. I know how to woo. But it just made me think, man, it's like somebody mentioned that when you're supposed to get married as a man, there's a scene in Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't remember which one, but Johnny Depp and Captain Jack Sparrow character is walking off of a ship that's sinking. And his last step on the boat, it sank, right? His first step off of the boat was onto the plank, was onto the dock, right? So it was like, yo, that's when a man's supposed to get married, when your ship is sinking, your value, I mean, not your value, but your appeal is kind of going down. Well, your value overall, it's called value. It's going down. You know what I'm saying? And you step right out onto the dock, to the pier. And that's, you know, that's when you get married, which is, you know, a jokey way of saying like, all right, recognize where you are in the zeitgeist. Now listen, the truth is, and you know, a lot of women don't want to admit this, but people know this, right? Also, let me end the night. I didn't, you know, like me and the girl I had rapport with everybody there. It's my job at this point in time just to get out the house more and to have like a little, like I'm just that way, man. You know, laughy, jokey. We got some good jokes off, you know, say a couple memorable things throughout the night. You know what I'm saying? Be yourself, you know. And then my thing is not judging myself afterwards, because I judge every single interaction I've had with every human being right after it. It's a sliding scale from critiquing to agonizing about it. Like, God damn it, how was I? Did I talk too much? Did I say too much? Was I funny? Was I too off-putting? You know what I mean? It's just something I have to fix, go to therapy for, or something like that. Right, so yeah, I had jokes, you know what I'm saying? But I think it was just an observation. I'm just like, God damn. I don't get the same kind of looks that I used to get, you know? And like, you don't really know it. Like, it'd be bothering a nigga sometimes. Like, yeah, damn. You know? But this is the thing I was going to say that I don't think women want to acknowledge. Let's say I was a millionaire right now, or several thousandaire, several hundred thousandaire, or depending on where you live, several thousandaire. Well, I'm not a several hundred thousandaire. But if you are up there, I mean, the money, there's a scale, right? Sometimes there's a bunch of shit that we look for, and women look for financial stability. They look to be, you know, safe, and being financial stability is part of them feeling safe. So while they try and pack, that's what it's packed in. But if you say something on the other end, about money, then it becomes, oh no, I'm not. Oh, you think I'm like, no, I don't think you're a gold digger. Their gold diggers exist, but sometimes I do get frustrated by just how much women don't want to acknowledge that portion of that aspect of relationships. And it's like, yeah, they got money, make a difference. I know it. I want it because that's the reason I want money. A lot of women don't realize dudes do everything for women. It's like, man, we don't do things for you. Yeah, we might stun or something, have some joy, but ultimately, if you're a straight man, I'm doing this shit to get for the, excuse my language, I'm finna say it like Mike Epps. He said, man, where the bitches? He's like, soon as your wife, he was like, hey, honey, okay. Hey, okay, I'll talk to you later, okay? All right, love you, baby. Love you. As soon as he hang up, he tell his boy, where the bitches? So that's what we do things for. I mean, we do things for women, right? It's just, you know, admit it. It would, you all would fare better if you just admit what it is. Come on out, so we ain't got to guess, you know? But anyway. Yeah, man, it's just interesting. And listen, man, I'm just meandering. I'm talking my shit right now. So, Jonathan Majors. I don't have to do the whole rundown of who Jonathan Majors is. You know who he is. Budding actor, budding superstar, really. He was about to become, he was already a star. He's a star now, but he was about to become a superstar. You know, I think he went to Juilliard, a trained actor. He's a, you know, he's an actor. Don't let that Marvel shit fool you. He's an actor. Jonathan Majors got into a kerfuffle. See, back when it first happened, what was it, in March, April, May? I forget when it happened. This is the quickest trial ever, by the way. Like, anyway. Which it says, you know, in the Constitution, we're due a speedy trial, right? Expedient trial or whatever. So anyway, Jonathan Majors, we hear that he got into it with his old gal, who was a white woman. Let's let that bake, let that simmer. So he gets into it with an old girl. And at first we didn't have the video, right? We didn't have the video. All we had were, you know, all we had was the word, which is weird, right? Then all these people start coming out and saying how he had been abusive to them. You know how it happens. And sometimes we take those as a grain of salt. But depending on if we like the person or not, we'd be like, oh, yeah, he did that shit. Or, no, he ain't did that shit, right? You're feeling straight. Oh, man, this was my shit. So then we see, right. So first off, I was just like, man, he ain't did that shit. Stop dating a white woman. They gonna set you up, dog. Right. That was my first thing. And let me say this. We have some, I hate having to say this like every time. I do. But I'm going to do it just because we have some great white allies. Not every white person is looking to do us in. Right. But I'm a 44-year-old black man. And oftentimes, even the white people that you like who ain't trying to do you in are not speaking up when there's injustices being done. Right. And to that point, I know a lot of white folk who speak up when injustices are being done. A lot. Right. And who are real with it and not just on some, you know, doing it for TV type shit. I know a lot of white people who are, well, you know, I know a few white people who are down. Went to high school with some, just met some, worked with some, like, you know what I mean? So with that out of the way, God, I hate doing that shit. But anyway, I feel like I just pandered to that. I might even cut that part. But we know the history. Right. Because it's not like I'm saying this. See, this is the weird thing about black and white relations. A lot of white people try to make, oh, well, you're racist because it's like, no, this. Our race, our, you know, our bigot, you know, our whatever you want to call it. our prejudice can never be equal because we don't have the power. Your power has kept us from, well, had us enslaved, first of all, in literal chains. And then look at the timeline of blackness in this country and slavery, abolishment of slavery, and then sharecropping, and then, you know, redlining, and Jim Crow, separate but equal, segregation, and all this shit. We've only really been free since 1968, right? So, because that's when the Civil Rights Act was signed. And Lyndon B. Johnson only signed that Civil Rights Act because he wanted to curb, he didn't want no more violence in the street because Dr. King had just been murdered, right? With help from the government. And this is not conjecture. Go look it up. It's not even a secret now. Right? The family sued the government and won, right? So anyway, with our race, when, I ain't gonna call it racism, when we don't like white people, it's because of the shit that white people has done and are still doing to us. When white people don't like black people, it's just because they black. Right? So this we got a history of knowing, all right, dog, don't go over there and get set up. You thinking it's sweet, they're gonna show you you black. So that was the first thing that I thought. Then the video comes out with her partying in the club, right? And that part didn't really move me, but it moved a lot of people. Well, because adrenaline and all this other kind of shit. And from what I can understand, the young lady drinks a lot, right? And let's keep it, well, I'll say this later. The young lady drinks a lot, so it ain't nothing to, oh, let's go back out and drink. Let's go back out and party and drink and all this other kind of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Even though I just got into this little kerfuffle with my guy, with my big black boyfriend guy, right? And then the text messages come out, right? In the text message, Jonathan Majors is, now I will tell you this, the text message, they were in London and where he was just like, so this was a dysfunctional relationship. Right, this was a toxic relationship, clearly. He's from Texas, but some of the text messages that were coming from Jonathan Majors was like, hey, old girl couldn't sleep and she wanted to go to the hospital because she had a head injury or something like that. Or she had hit her head. We don't know why, but in the text messages, she was talking about like going to the hospital. He didn't want her to go to the hospital because he said, like, if we go to the hospital, what do you think that's going to make me look like if they start asking questions about how this happened? Now, you could take this a few ways. I took it as, oh, he's probably binked her a few times or rough or something. You know, it's kind of hard to, right? Unless he meant like we're in, you know, we're overseas. And if this happens, you know what they're going to think. But he didn't say that. He said, what do you think they're going to say about how, what questions do you think they're going to ask about how, right? So it doesn't mean that, but it suggests, for me, it suggests that perhaps there was some physical activity. And with the fact that we know this was a tumultuous, at the very least, relationship, then, you know, that's kind of, you know, take your own thing from it. And I hate even saying that because white people think that about us. Everybody thinks that about us regardless, right? And I'm not talking about, like, if a woman is going to be beat up, it's going to be because a man did, right? Right. But I'm talking about in relationships. I mean, that stands in relationships too, but I'm just talking about how black men are viewed in this country. So then the video comes out, right? Oh, no. Then the audio comes out. And the audio comes out and she's, you know, he's telling her, I need you to be Coretta Scott King, Michelle Obama. Which, if you look at that, all he's saying is, listen, now, ridiculous examples, okay, my guy? Just like ridiculous example, because even if she does what you want her to do, she still can't hold the position that those two women hold. Like, it was just she just can't. But what he was saying is, the places where I'm about to elevate to, aside from the arrogance, right? The arrogance was him like, I'm a great man. I'm doing great things, right? You know what I mean? It was like, it's like, relax, dog. But what he was saying is, the truth is, had this not happened, he was about to be in the Marvel, well, he was already in the Marvel Universe. He was about to get a Disney Marvel movie centered around him, okay? So, and shit was, he was taking off like a rocket. So if I'm going to be here, I need you to hold me down in a way where you're not coming in the house pissy drunk and all of this. Because if you're doing that, then other shit happens, then that shines a light on me. Essentially, I'm pretty sure that's all he was saying, although he voiced it just right. So a few things we can confer from this is that Jonathan Majors is arrogant. A little toxic, and perhaps might be an abuser. Perhaps. But when it comes to the video, okay? See, what we try to do is we persecute people for past, which I get it. It's how human beings work. It's like, who the sun sets free is truly free indeed. That man was singing his ass off. It's like, man, I'm not religious anymore. But if I listen to this song and I'm not on the podcast, it's only a matter of time before I start crying. Kirk Franklin always has a joint from every album that does me this way, and a few other songs where I'm just like, and I don't know if it's just the nostalgia of being there, but they do give you a feeling, man. I'm sorry. Man, let me just say this in the middle of this. I'm gonna start this off at the beginning. So Jonathan Majors, when it comes to the video, which is what the trial was about, was just that night, and he was found innocent of assaulting her, but he was found guilty of recklessly this is my problem I have with that. He was found guilty of basically harming her because they couldn't prove that the scratch on her ear and her arm or finger or whatever did not come from him. But what we can confer from the video, and this is why it's so dangerous in America for a black man, and subsequently for men and women in toxic situations, it's so dangerous for a black man because he was scrambling. Like, the driver even said it. He was scrambling. We saw the video. So essentially what he was charged for was the part where he kind of picks her up and stuffs her in the car, not stuffs her, picks her up, put her back in the car, right? So that he can scurry away. But my question is like, yo, what if she'd have had a gun and a weapon? Right? Which we still don't know, but it's like, do you still have to, how do I have to take care of you as I'm trying to get away from you, as I'm trying to flee you? So it almost, it puts you in harm's way and says, oh, well, I don't know. Like, if I'm trying to flee you, I have to handle you with white gloves. Where was I? Sorry, I had to take a little break. I had to put the clothes in the dryer. So when it comes to the car, it's like, I don't understand how you have to be delicate with someone who you're trying to flee from. And essentially, because essentially that's what they're saying. They're saying that was the part that they used to be like, well, you know, you were reckless. It was called reckless something. I forgot it was called reckless. It's basically, they're saying he was reckless for how he handled her. And there was a small part in the car where they, you know, but it's like the text, I'm sorry, there was a small part in the car from which he could have, where the thing, where the video didn't see where he could have been guilty of nicking her finger in her ear or whatever else, right? In which the driver already said that she was the aggressor. And the text message, because keep in mind, he's the one that called the police. Right? Let's talk about the video. Oh, I'm sorry. In the text, I'm bouncing all around here. I'm sorry. In the text message, she admitted to trying to take his phone. A text message popped up on his phone where she said, whoever, somebody else said on the other end, yo, I wish I was kissing you right now. She saw it. She tried to take the phone from him. They start fighting over the phone. Jonathan Majors ain't a big dude, but compared to her, he's a big dude, right? Right? And he's, you know, like we saw him in Creed. My man works out. You know what I mean? You know. And the motherfucker's in shape. So, and somebody else was saying, it was like, yo, he could have, you know, he could have whooped her ass. He could have beat the shit out of her and just like he could have. But instead, he chose to flee. He chose to get his phone back, his property from her, which again, I have to watch how I take my property back from you. Come on, man. Like that is wild. That's wild. That's a wild concept. And that's scary. Because essentially they're saying, so Jonathan Majors called the police. So let's talk about the tape. He puts her back in. He runs, he runs, he runs. She chases him. She chases him. She stops. She stops at, I don't know whose apartment building it was, but she just sees three random white people out there. And you could tell she's stopping to tell them what happened. Like, so she's stopping to tell three white people on him after she chased him for taking his fucking phone. I don't understand, man. I just don't understand. I have to be delicate in the way that I, one, get my property back from you, that I keep you from taking my property, and two, in the way that I flee you. It's like, come on, man. That can't be it. I heard somebody say, like, damn, he couldn't, like, you ain't allowed to, like, somebody that's attacking you, you can't thump them in the throat a little bit. And he said he couldn't thump her in the throat and give her like hiccups for 2 hours. You know what I mean? It's like, I just, that part I don't understand. And then she goes off and parties with those people that night, which gives more context to the claims. And it was just like, first of all, let's talk about Jonathan Majors, his defense team. Why would y'all, I'm bouncing all over the place. So the night happens and Jonathan Majors ends up coming back home and she is in the closet. I mean, this is the most dramatic shit I've ever heard. She doesn't have pants. She's without pants on, which means she has a shirt on. He found her pantsless in the closet. No, this isn't funny if he beat her up and put her there, obviously. But he returns back to the apartment and he sees fit. Now, this is after the chase. He sees fit to call the police because he's concerned about her. right? And also, let me just rewind a little bit. In the text messages, he was also pulling that whole I thought about killing myself thing. That's like toxic 101. Like, I killed myself. I thought about killing myself today. Like, you know what I mean? So that's just to give you a full view of, you know, a full, like, view of the situation. And it's just, it just reads as, protect yourself, but watch how you protect yourself. Jonathan Majors is the one that called the police. She had a nick on her hand and on her neck, and the police were like, there's video of it. You know, right? And police get there, and they have to take him because, and it's like, wait, nigga, I'm the one that called the police out of concern for her. And, you know, then later on, the text messages saying that, hey, you know, I told them it wasn't you and this and that and this and that. But just the fact that you can call the police and get charged for some shit. Now, manipulative people can call the police during a thing, you know, knowing that both people are going to go to jail, right? This can happen. But considering all that we know, this was some bullshit. And hopefully he doesn't spend any time in jail. You know, maybe it's only probation. Disney has already stepped away from him. But he'll lay low. You know, let people see you outside, you know, a place where you're getting therapy. You know what I mean? Let TMZ catch you in pictures and shit like this. And that's it. You'll be all right. You'll make a comeback. In a year and a half, he'll be in something else. But, you know. And listen, some people say, you know what? I don't know if Jonathan Majors, he brought it on himself, right? If he put himself in that kind of situation with a woman that you know it's volatile, then you kind of brought this on yourself, which on an existential level, I can kind of understand. But on a legal level, that's, you know, that's like saying young boy. Because when you're toxic, you don't necessarily know it. I'm not excusing people. Right? If you know it, work on yourself, right? Once you find it out, you're responsible. But, you know, I just find that hard to talk about. I just find that hard to believe when we're talking about an individual who is in a toxic relationship and whose freedom could be affected, by the way he chose to flee. He didn't pull out a gun. He didn't DDT her. He didn't Stone Cold stun her. He didn't clothesline her. Not that we know. But Jesus Christ. Anyway, get on Lou Rawls. Lou Rawls got a good old Christmas album. Johnny Mathis has a really good Christmas album. Fantasia has a good Christmas album. Listen, man, I can't wait to have a family. Family functions, be drunk singing Christmas tunes, somebody else playing the piano, or me once I learn, because I'm going to learn. I'm in there like, Merry Christmas, babe, show the treatment night. Merry Christmas, baby, show the treatment night. Oh, anyway, man, I'm about to go out to another gathering. So this is what I'm gonna do. I went to a gathering last year with my people, like my people. And on Christmas Eve, they had a what do you call it? They had a gift swap, like a white elephant joint. I ended up taking a breakfast sandwich maker from, I think, like, from the matriarch, I think. And it was cool. No, I didn't take it from her. I'm sorry. One of the nieces, one of her grandkids took it from her. And I took it from the grandkid. But this year, my gift is going to be not that same. It's the same sandwich maker, but it ain't the one I took. It's I went and bought another one. So that's going to be, I can't wait to see the reaction from them after they see what it is. It's going to be crazy. Yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. So I'm headed out there in a little bit. So right quick, just want to give a congratulations and well done slash condolences to the Hunter family, my cousin Stacy, my cousin Erica, my cousin Deanna, and my cousin Kim, on the passing of my Auntie Shanti. Auntie Shanti, I've called her that all my life. Her name is Alma. She was 94 years old. No, 95 years old. She just turned 95, I think, on November 2nd, something like that. And, man, just, you know, just one of the happiest, laughiest, like, just, I can remember after we would do Christmas at my grandmother's house, which is her sister. My grandmother was her younger sister. My grandmother passed, Gunny. Gunny passed in 2016 on June 9th. And she was 84. And Auntie Shanti was still, up until maybe a couple years ago, still walking in heels, you know? Just so after we would do Christmas at my grandmother's house there in Michigan City, Indiana, we would go over to Auntie Shanti's house or Auntie Ju's house, you know? And it was just great to see all of the, matter of fact, the last year that I saw them all together was Christmas 2007. And over Auntie Ju's house, and it was all the siblings, you know, it was Gunny, it was Auntie Ju, it was Auntie Ju, Uncle Melvin, and Uncle Billy. Uncle Billy was sick by then, Auntie Jerry, Uncle Billy's wife. And Auntie Shanti, and we were just, you know, all over there, man. And I don't know, man. Christmas starts to feel a little more, man. I don't know, man. Christmas starts to feel a little bit more, I guess the older I get, you know, more sensitive you get, I guess. Shit. But the more, you know, you start thinking about Christmases of the past and, you know, people who aren't here anymore. And shout out Byron Burns also. Byron, you know, was class of 98, aka Box. And then we lost Nate T this year. Same. It's just be grateful for life, man. Although, you know, back to Auntie Shanti. I'm sorry. Just love you, Auntie Shanti. I don't know how, you know, I said it, like you're going to listen to this podcast in heaven or paradise or wherever you might be. But, yeah, man, well done. Congratulations. Thank you. And it was a pleasure to be your nephew, man. And, yeah, man, that's about it. We're at this time. I mean, the world is getting crazier. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get us super serious, but. You know, life is getting crazy. Take some time and, you know, we're inundated with so much, you know, people can't go to the bathroom without taking their phone. So I'm guilty of it too. So, you know, just try to be quiet sometimes and sit quiet during the time where you'd normally be responding to text messages or Instagram stories or on Facebook and just, or on TikTok, because Lord knows that's an addiction too, or can be. And just sit, man, even if you don't full on meditate. I mean, Andre 3000's album came out on the 17th, which was my big bro's birthday. So I was already in a contemplative mode. I think I said that right. And, you know, I was coming out of the shower because I was playing it that morning. I was coming out of the shower and something told me, it was just like, oh no, sit down here, chill for a minute. So I was like, oh, this is perfect, because I hadn't been meditating. So I set my little timer to 5 minutes and I just kind of, closed my eyes right where I was. I was sitting down and I kind of let it, you know, let all the thoughts, because you can't empty your mind. The mind is a monkey. But the goal is to kind of center it again. You know, once you know, the moment you realize you're thinking about all these things, you know, that's what meditating is, where you can kind of bring it back and just a stillness, right? So that your mind is not, and the more you do it, the more you can be calm and kind of hear from, you know, whatever it is for you, whether it's God, the universe, whatever it is for you, you should be able to hear it, right? And hear what your life is telling you, right? About what's the right thing to do. Because the truth is, if you're inundated with so much noise, some of us are going from the time we wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to the time we go to bed at 8, 9, or 10, you know, or 11 or 12. I go to bed at 12. You know what I mean? It's so much that you don't take the time to sit and listen to what you're supposed to be doing. Listen to what you really want to be doing, you know, and then time is moving faster than ever. So you're just going to keep looking up and saying, damn, it's December already. Instead of filling those months and those days and those weeks with shit that you want to do, shit that you want to move toward. Anyway, I'm off my, we get off my soapbox, but just get quiet and cherish your family and your friends. Make that call to that. Make that call to that person, you know, that you ain't talked to in a while, and, you know, swallow that pride. I'm not saying be abused, but if it's something petty, you know what I mean? Reach out, man, and cherish your people, cherish your family. Stop waiting on, stop, you know, putting off those calls. Make those calls, have as many moments as you can with those people, you know? So anyway, I'm going to turn this goddamn music up and end this show before I start weeping. Okay. I love y'all, man. Listen to this song, John Legend's Christmas in New Orleans. It's going to take you out. Hey. Oh, when you hear John Legend say, hey, New Orleans. Oh, yeah. All right, I'm gone. Oh, wait a minute. Let's play a little bit. Hey. Zippy, boo, boo, zap, doo. Hey, had to listen to some upbeat music because I was about to start crying in here, man. I don't know, man. You get older, the holidays do that to you sometimes. Hey, zip, zip, baby. Hey! 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 All you hear, yeah, in New Orleans. Oh, hey, feels so good to be in New Orleans. Christmas time. Merry Christmas. New Year's, nigga. Let's get it.